Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. While Trump's recent comments are still dominating the mainstream media discussion, which should again show you very clearly where their focus lies. So to begin today, I would like you to consider a question posed in a recent tweet by Leak Camp, and one that we ourselves have posed in the past. And this is that we currently spend $1 trillion on our military every year. Yet the UN currently estimates it would take $30 billion a year to end world hunger. So why aren't we doing that? It's a very good question. I would imagine the regulars of this show already kind of know the answer to that. So the first story I'd like to get into today is one that happened yesterday, and one that I also kind of consider possibly a distraction story from the day. And that is that many are probably have seen is residents crying and screaming after false ICBM threat alerts rattle Hawaii. Now, this is a very interesting story that's been discussed a lot. And ultimately what happened was there was an imminent threat of an incoming missile that went across all the different emergency channels in Hawaii, whether the phones or your service announcement on your TV. It was something that scared quite a bit, even to the point where people were putting their children in storm drains for fear that the missile was about to strike. And then it came out maybe, I think it was about 40 minutes later, that this was a mistake. Now, I actually agree, and I'll share the video in the show notes, one done by Dan Dix recently, which essentially that this, in my opinion, what it strikes me as is it's like a psyop. The idea was to find out how people would react to such a thing. But at this point, that's all speculation. What they're claiming is that essentially they pressed the wrong button. And that's really what this essentially is, what they're pushing forward, that there was an exchange or a change in people that were working that day, and then one man forgot to do something, and the wrong button was pushed. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth. This guy apparently come out and spoke out about it. But we should immediately know today that that's something that could very easily be manipulated or created. But again, I don't necessarily know for sure whether or not that's the case. But to me, this really stands out as something that what we're seeing impending with North Korea, or rather the false story being created around that. This seems like a very plausible thing to happen, where they would test how we would react. And actually, Dan Dix posed another interesting theory, asking whether or not maybe this was an actual attack and it was secretly dispensed with, and then they wanted to cover for it for whatever reason. I don't really think that was the case. To me, this stands out as a manipulation, an attempt to see how we would react with something like this. But ultimately, regardless of what really happened, this is again being used as a story to distract from all of the larger issues taking place right now, some of which we will get into today. So this is something we should pay attention to and continue to follow and really try to find out. Well, and another point I'd like to note on as well is something that Tulsi Gabbard, someone that I've always felt was very honest, and not to say that she's not, but that she came out immediately almost in a way calling for war with North Korea. I mean, you could have taken what she said in a few different ways, but it seemed like she was calling for action. She was saying she was calling for peace, but she kept saying that, you know, he needs to do something about this. His continued rhetoric is, you know, really calling for action. And that made me very nervous to see her doing that. And it just seemed like someone like her would be taking an opposite stance. But again, stories like this tend to kind of reveal quite a bit. So we need to keep paying attention to this and follow as it develops. The next story I'd like to get into is one coming out of ZeroHedge.com entitled Bitcoin Mining Fees Soar as China Crackdown Progresses. South Korea's lawmakers and Ministry of Finance recently shot down a crypto trading ban proposed by South Korean Ministry of Justice, which we've covered in recent shows. Yet China's attempt to suppress the local crypto economy is continuing unabated, as the PBOC leans on local authorities to deny resources to Bitcoin miners and exchanges to encourage a, quote, an orderly exit from the business. Bloomberg reports that via BTC Technology Limited, which runs the fourth biggest Bitcoin mining collective, is jacking up its maintenance fees for some of its clients Friday to 50% from 6%. According to a statement posted on its website. The disruption in mining power has caused already soaring transaction fees to climb to all-time highs as transactions compete for space on the network. Many miners have already fled to Canada, the US, even as far as Iceland, but those that remain are being squeezed by market forces as local authorities seek to deny them access to the cheap, subsidized electricity that allows Chinese miners to flourish in the first place. Chinese officials have reportedly asked local governments to guide miners toward a, quote, an orderly exit from the business. Via BTC has moved most of its operations to Iceland and America as a result. Once a hotbed for mining, China's crackdown will fundamentally change the landscape of the Bitcoin economy. And at first, it seemed to have little impact on the price of crypto. However, today we have seen quite a general drop in the markets. This, again, in my opinion, is just another action taken by governments to try to minimize and to probably to a large degree try to stop the decentralization revolution as it pertains to cryptocurrency. Now, again, I think this will show us ultimately that this is something that cannot be stopped, regardless of whether every government tries to ban this or does ban this. This is something that's gotten too far. This cannot be stopped at this point. There's also a very interesting video done by Luke Kradowski that I'll include in the show notes today, where they discuss exactly this kind of thing, what they call FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is being pushed a lot. Even the story we saw of South Korea, which we did report on, it turns out was overblown by a lot of the mainstream media, trying to make it seem like there was an imminent ban coming, which I did see reports of actual raids happening, but that's questionable whether that actually happened or not. And it ultimately turned out that South Korean government themselves came out and said, no, we're not, this isn't going to happen. So there's a lot of FUD and fear and uncertainty and doubt coming out about this stuff. And you could argue that that's exactly the point, trying to scare people away from something that they clearly don't have control over. So this story will continue to watch, just like all of them, and continue to report. This is something that you need to spread and make sure that you don't get scared away from this. This is the future at this point. Good or bad, it's how what we make of it, and it's how we move forward and what we choose to support. So I think ultimately this is something that they're very afraid of, and these actions are making that quite clear. The next story coming out of NPR.org is one that's very positive, and it's something that I myself have reported on quite a bit in the past, and that is Illinois judge allows 11-year-old girl to use medical marijuana at school. Medical marijuana is legal in Illinois, and it's against current law for students to use it in schools or have school nurses administer it. Ashley Surin has now become the sole exemption. She overcame a leukemia diagnosis at 2 years old with extensive chemotherapy, but some of her treatments eventually led to having semi-regular seizures. Go figure. Her mother, Maureen Surin, told NPR that since starting medical marijuana treatments, her seizures have immensely declined in number. Quote, we're amazed with her progress. Her parents filed a lawsuit in federal court on Wednesday against the school district and the state of Illinois, claiming that the state's ban on taking the drugs at school violates the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. On Friday, a judge ruled in her favor after hearing from the school district, which reportedly had concerns that its employees may be subject to legal penalties for helping Ashley with their medications. That's a very interesting perspective there. And I would argue that that's not the only reason they don't want to move forward with this. There's a lot of other implications behind schools and cannabis. But it's interesting that to note that this case does make sense, where the federal government, especially after what we're seeing with Jeff Sessions, could essentially come in and still hold these people accountable despite the state law. And that's very frustrating and highly unconstitutional. Medical marijuana is legal in 29 states, but only three, New Jersey, Maine, and Colorado, say schools must allow students to use their legal prescriptions in school. Now, this is a very slow process, but one that still appears to be moving forward, despite the profiteering rants of insiders such as Jeff Sessions, regardless of his current station. In my opinion, this is a very positive sign that the old dying rhetoric is just kind of once and for all going away, but that does not mean the war is over, as the elite few still hold sway over the police state. And we must continue to stand against such injustices. Not allowing our children the medicine they need to live a full, fulfilling life is absolutely sinister. And ultimately, that's what we're talking about here. This is denying them things they need because of, first of all, because of a law, an immoral law, but because of profit and because of control. And we've seen today, most have seen that the studies show that this is one, it's not a bad thing, especially when we're talking about CBD, not a psychoactive drug. And really, it just stands to overcome the big pharma domination on medications and the medical industry in general. So there's a very large financial incentive for the establishment to stop this kind of thing from happening. So to see this happen is a very positive step, and it's very heartening for me to see that states are still taking action, judges even, to allow this thing to happen. Next, coming out of the antimedia.org, UN probe details Yemen war's harm to civilians. The recent UN 39-page report warned that Yemen is rapidly disintegrating into a collection of warring statelets, and warned it would be difficult for them to ever reunite after this conflict. It heavily faulted Saudi Arabia, and by proxy, the U.S., for its airstrikes, killing thousands of civilians. Saudi airstrikes in Yemen typically target homes, markets, factories, hospitals, cars, and much more. The panel estimated some 8 million Yemenis, about a third of the population, are facing famine conditions, and noted that around 1 million Yemenis were victims of a cholera epidemic, which has been called the worst in human history. It is very important for those Americans consumed with the controversy over what Trump says. His actions, or rather that of the military-industrial complex, are far worse. And it's also very important to understand that the U.S. is far from being a mere ally of Saudi Arabia. The United States has troops stationed in Yemen, assisting Saudi-backed forces. The U.S. also provides intelligence support to Riyadh for locating airstrike targets. This means that Washington is directly complicit in carrying out war crimes against civilians in Yemen. We talked about the hospitals and factories being bombed. Their intelligence reports lead directly to these strikes. I mean, this is the definition of hypocrisy, especially when we go back to consider the recent executive order signed by Donald Trump about seizing the assets of human rights violators. This is exactly what we're talking about. The U.S. is directly involved providing arms intelligence, even on bombing these civilian locations. So the important question to ask yourself, why is this not headline news? Why is this not being discussed? Why is this not addressed by this executive order? I think that's pretty clear. One, Saudi Arabia is a strong ally of the United States, but because the United States themselves are directly complicit in these actions. So we need to continue to point out this gross hypocrisy and then understand that in the larger context when we're talking about places like Syria or even North Korea or any of these, or even Venezuela or any of these places that are under the attack of either economically or directly from the United States government, and how they're claiming that there's some kind of a humanitarian crisis taking place. While we see things happening right now in Yemen or in Palestine, where they're directly tied to these, but yet they don't get addressed. That needs to stand out to us. Final story I'd like to discuss today is a great one coming out of the CorbettReport.com entitled Four Privacies You Didn't Know You Lost. This is one that I highly recommend that you all go and read yourself, because I'm just going to skim over the information. But as always, James Corbett is incredibly in-depth with his research and his information. And this goes on to really show you an interesting point that as much as we're still fighting right now to preserve the last few privacies that we have, he discusses four that we apparently didn't realize that we already lost. First one is privacy of garbage, which I found very humorous, but also very scary when you understand that prosecutors have been arguing for decades that you have no right to expectation of privacy to your trash. No special license, permit, or warrant is required to access this stuff, even for the average individual, which means essentially that they could go and dig through your trash at any moment. Now, this is something that may not seem a big deal to people, but the point he makes in the article is essentially that even researching dead civilizations to find that their trash or the remnants is the best way to understand who they were and what they did with their lives. And that same parallel can be applied to our garbage today. So to understand that that's not a right we have, it's kind of surprising to some people. The next one he talks about is privacy of location. Now, this is one I would argue we're all very aware of. But again, the article talks about how we're being manipulated to think that this isn't important anymore, and almost under the guise of convenience. But we all have our cell phones in our pockets. He talks about microphones and lampposts, and all these things are really happening today. And we fail to actually acknowledge this. The lamppost one, I think, would surprise most people. But that we have cameras on every corner and microphones everywhere, it's something that should be very alarming to people. We recently talked about a story of these new towers coming up in New York City, very mysterious, when they're claiming they were basically claiming that they're not being used for what we now know they are being used for, and that is intense surveillance and as actual microphones and picking up the average traffic up and down New York City. Now, obviously, you could make the argument this is for safety and the possible attacks, but we have to realize that that's not what they're being used for. They're being used to aggregate data on the average individual, and that's a very alarming prospect. The next one he talks about is privacy of thought. Now, this is a very interesting one. One that I would argue that people probably wouldn't believe. And I mean, despite the information we're seeing coming out of the most cutting edge technology, we recently talked about a story about Wi-Fi essentially reading your emotions, using Wi-Fi signals to bounce off you, and then actually using the information that returns to gauge what emotions you're feeling. Now, I mean, that's a very close relation to actual thoughts. But he goes on to discuss in the article about technology that is actually showing that they can use different tech to actually read what your current thoughts are electronically. And that's been, if you don't believe it, go in and check it yourself and dig deeper, because it's really happening today. He's even saying that there are groups that are boasting that this is essentially about to be happening now, that they have this technology that's being developed. And that is a very alarming prospect. The last one he talks about is privacy of transaction, which is an important one to end on today, which is something that we don't have any more privacy here. Every transaction you execute, everything you do is tracked, cataloged, researched. They know where we go, what we buy, and how we do it, and who we're around, GPS. I mean, all of this stuff combined is everything you do in your life. And that has to be very alarming to us. Now, what the important point to end on here is that's why cryptocurrency, in my opinion, and again, the right ones, investing in the right decentralized peer-to-peer cryptocurrencies or crypto technology in general, is the way that we get past this. It's anonymous. I mean, I should make clear, the right ones are anonymous peer-to-peer transactions. So there's something that they can no longer track as far as we know at this moment. So it's important, not even just cryptocurrency, any technology, it's so very important that we use our consumer power for the right things, and that we continue to stand behind, financially and otherwise, the right technologies that will lead us into the right direction and away from the gross violation of our rights and the larger security state, the surveillance state that we're seeing develop all around us. So for more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com and any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.